Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. Thank you, Lord, for this day and for the word that we have already heard. Father, I do pray this morning that you be with our brother here as he shares the word again. As we sang a song this morning that says, "Thy word is like a flaming sword, a wedge that cleaveth stone." Father, I pray that it would go forth here today in this room, in this body, in this church today. And Lord, would it search my own heart? Would you give our brother courage to be a vessel here and strength to share the word of God, truth, and that you would be glorified and you would be lifted up, Father. May you just keep him in your care today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, thank you. You well expressed my desire and my heart this morning to just be a vessel. I feel I was greatly challenged in the last few days and seeking the Lord and what to share. But I feel that this is what the Lord would have for us today, what he laid on my heart. Appreciated this morning already. Brother Steve shared, and it's our desire, it's my desire to be that at the end of my life, that those that know me could say, well, he was a faithful brother. And I think that's every one of our desires. And it leads into, it does lead into what I was looking at and what the Lord laid on my heart. A couple weeks ago, here, 2 weeks ago, I think it was, Brother Nate had a little saying up on this board that I've been thinking about since. And this is what I want to talk about today. A honest heart is needed. And we could have a lot of good words in our Christian life, but we need an honest heart. I've been thinking about this since the other Sunday, and at the prayer meeting here last Saturday morning, I shared on this a little bit. Looked into it, but I felt led to just expand on it and to look at it a little more in depth. So, the word honest, or it also I'm going to talk about today, is a little bit of the word integrity. And we all know what integrity means, if something has integrity. So, the subject this morning is have honesty and integrity in our lives as God's people. Steve asked some questions this morning that were pretty serious questions, and if we don't answer those honestly, with an honest heart, we're going to be led astray. If we can't answer questions like that with an honest heart, we're going to end up in a place that we did not desire to be. My struggle today, or my struggle the past couple of days, is why as God's people do we need a message on honesty? Aren't we honest? Aren't we God's people? Why I struggled so much to share this is you know, as God's people, we're called to be honest. We're called to be, and we know that. We know this isn't a... this is just a simple message. We know these principles, and we know we've been Christians long enough, and we walked in the truth long enough to know what honesty is and integrity. But it seems that God kept bringing me back to this, and so I want to be faithful. I want to be obedient to the Spirit of God and share this today. But you pray for me because it feels like I was I don't know how to describe how I was feeling. In the New Testament, In every letter that Paul wrote to the churches, he shared with them to be honest in their lives and to have integrity in every letter. Even in Peter's letters, they give instructions to their readers to walk in the truth, to be honest, to have integrity, to make that a part of their life, to put that on in their life. In Exodus 20, verse 16, Moses went up to the mountain and took two tablets of stone, and God took his finger, and he wrote on stone, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." I think that makes it a pretty weighty matter, that we are not to be liars. We are not to be dishonest people. God said, "You shall not lie to your neighbor." I believe every one of us in here can say that from childhood, we knew this. We knew the principle our parents taught us. I trust every one of us has been taught not to lie. I can say that with a surety, I think. So why is it? Why was it, I should say? Why is it that I have to tell, we have to have a message on honesty today? I always remember my grandma, one memory I have of my grandmother, we lived there and she lived in our house. I remember her telling us, as children, she said, "Don't ever start lying. Because you say one lie, you have to tell another to cover that one, and another to cover that one, and another." And I remember her telling us that. And I believed it. But I didn't listen. I yet told a lie. By raise of hands in here, before we were Christians, how many of us had told a lie? I think every one of us. A brother asked me the other day if I could lie to my dad and mom. And I had told him, yeah, I could look him right in the eye and tell a lie if it meant protecting myself from trouble. And I rejoice today that I couldn't look anyone in the eye today and tell them a lie, because the conscience of God has changed my heart. I can testify also from my past that what my grandma told me was true. If you told one lie, more than likely, very, very likely, you're going to have to tell another and another until the truth had come out. And that was my growing up years of covering up my sin by lying to others. But I think the question today is, what about today? Another question that Steve could ask, what about today? What about my life now? Do I lie? Do I have an honest heart? Do I live a life of integrity today? And I'll confess to you today that I've not always had an honest heart in my Christian life. It's easy to fall into a trap of deception. Do you realize today that you can be a deceiver without saying one word? One person, if somebody can ask you a question, and you not by not answering make them believe something else, that's a lie. That's a deceiver. Without saying a word. Before we go any further, we've often heard the phrase or the term that, God's word is like a mirror. When we hold up God's word and we look into it, we can see ourselves. And it's true. We see a true reflection of ourselves if we have an honest heart. If we're willing to look honestly at the word of God and look at it in truth and desire the truth, and we hold up that word and look at into the mirror of God's word and look at ourselves, we can be changed. We can be corrected, we can be encouraged, we can be led toward God. But yesterday I thought of Well, we can see ourselves in an absolute truth, how God sees us. Yesterday, I thought of these years ago. We used to go to these amusement parks and places where they had houses where you could walk through these alleyways and you'd a house of mirrors, and they'd had all these mirrors that would distort you. You stood in front of one, you might be tall and skinny. You stood in front of a smoothed over one, and you were just short and round. And our minds, our hearts can be deceived in a way that we can look in the Word of God and we can see ourselves beyond what we are in that way. That same way that mirror was distorted, our hearts are distorted. We don't see the Word of God in the truth, if that makes sense. I thought of this. A woman, there's women in the world today that have eating disorders. And they can literally be as skin and bones, a skeleton with skin on it. I've seen pictures in, over the years. And that woman, because of her tainted view of truth, can look in a mirror and see herself as fat. And the mirror is true, but in her mind or in her heart, because it's distorted in her mind, her heart's distorted, she sees herself completely different than the absolute truth. And that's what I'm talking about today, that when we look at the Word of God and we live our life, we need to be honest. We need to have an honest heart. We need to look at it with no agendas, no preconceived ideas of what we think it should say. We should just read it as it stands and then let God work. In Luke chapter 8, we have the parable of the soils. I want to read verse 11 through 15. We all know this parable. We're familiar with it. Jesus said the parable is this. The seed is, just to bring us up here. The parable was where the sower went out to sow seed, and he sowed seed, and some fell on the wayside, some fell on the rocks, some fell on thorns, and some fell on good ground. And his disciples asked him to explain this to us. But Jesus said, "Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are those who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and those who have no root believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked by cares and riches and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience." In the King James, your King James Version says honest. A noble and honest heart. An honest and good heart, I guess it says. An honest and good heart. But if we look at the fruit, if we have an honest and a good heart, the Word of God can do its work in us. And we can bear fruit with patience. We heard about bearing fruit this morning, and we heard about patience. And here's the recipe. You put all these together. This is the recipe for a prosperous Christian life with fruit, is an honest and good heart. When we come and read the Word of God, truth needs to be our greatest desire. Sad to say, in my early Christian life, I used the Word of God as a means to justify what I was doing instead of just letting the truth be what it was. And it doesn't produce fruit in people's lives. If we use it as a club instead of as a sword and let God do the work, it doesn't work as well. It works better to let God work. Our greatest desire needs to be truth. Truth in our own about our own hearts, first and foremost. Our own actions, that what we're doing. It's very easy to see the needs of others. It's easier to see the needs of others than our own needs at times. But with an honest heart, we can come before God and He can show us our needs. He can show us where we need to change, where we need to move in a different direction. And it's only when we have that honest heart and we come before God that God can work by His grace in our lives. And as we're open to Him and we cry out to Him, when we see those needs, we cry out for help. And by His grace, He can change us. I'm thankful for that this morning. And we can be this good ground. We can have this good ground that bears fruit. The word honest in the Strong's means, I looked this up in the 1828 dictionary actually, means upright, just, fair, free from fraud, sincere, according to truth, honorable, faithful, as Brother Steve shared on. So being honest is being faithful, decent. Integrity, the other word I was looking at, means the wholeness of a moral character. So honesty is a part of that. Honesty is part of integrity. When we think of someone that has integrity, we know that we can trust them. They're not gonna cheat us or deceive us. It's a wholeness of moral character in heart and mind. I guess I didn't finish the thing there. In Ephesians 6, this was brought out last Saturday morning. In Ephesians 6, where we are told to take the belt of truth. I think it was Brother Solly that shared that he used to look at that all the time as that belt of truth as having all our theology right, truth in our theology, which we need that. But the belt of truth in our life is just to be honest, just to be truthful and to walk in that way. When we strap on that belt, then God can work in our lives and God can lead us and guide us. I think I said that right. I don't want to put words in Solly's mouth there. But he's not here to defend himself. I think that was how he had worded it. But that when we put on a belt of truth, that we can walk in truth, not only in our theology, but our very lives. Or I should say it that way. Psalm 51:6 says, "Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts." God desires truth in us. That was David saying, God desires truth in our inward parts, in our heart. God in His very character is honest. And He has integrity, or He is integrity. He shows us how to be by His very character. And He calls us to be like Him. And He gives us the grace and He gives us the grace to walk in that way. In Proverbs, there's some verses there in chapter 12. Starting in 17 through 22. "He who speaks truth declares righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. The truthful lip shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace have joy. No grave trouble will overtake the righteous, but the wicked shall be filled with evil. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are His delight." Here we see what the promises of living in honesty, living in truth, it delights the Lord. It delights God's heart for those who deal truthfully. And I think that, as I'll get to a little later, not only in our practical lives, but very, very much so in our spiritual lives, that we're honest with ourselves and before God and with God. But that God delights in honesty, integrity in our lives because it glorifies Him. when we have an honest life that's open and that we need not be ashamed of, that glorifies God. Job, as we heard about Job already this morning, he was a man of integrity. Even though, as we as Mel read that story, even though he had great wealth, his heart wasn't set on his wealth; it was set on God. His mind was toward God, and when all that was taken away, is how he could say what he said, how he could glorify God in his life. Job 2:3. And there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" So Satan answered to the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth? A blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil, and still he holds fast to his integrity, though you incited me against him to destroy him without cause." This is after that everything was taken from him. He lost everything. And he was but it says he bowed and worshiped. He worshiped God. And he said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." But what stood out to me was that God took notice of Job's integrity. He told Satan, "Do you see this man? See his integrity? That even though he was destroyed, all these things were taken," he said, "have you noticed his integrity? Have you noticed his honesty, his faithfulness to me?" But Satan, you know, he wasn't done yet. He railed against him. He goes, "Stretch out your hand and take his health, and he'll curse you to your face." But we know he didn't. He had boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head, and he sat in ashes. And even his wife told him. And we'll find this, I think, in our life when we want to stand on truth and we want to stand on honesty in our life. That we'll have others around us that will try to get us and tempt us to give up. And not do this. She told him, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die." And he said, "No." You know, he said, "Shall we not accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity?" So, Job was an example of a man that had a fear of God in his life, and he wanted to do what God wanted, or he wanted to obey God. And he had integrity, as the word here is integrity, but it's that wholeness of moral character, the honest and good heart. But also, I think, you know, we know that when we walk in honesty, people notice, and we can be a testimony and a light to them in that way. In 1 Samuel, the first chapter 12, the first 5, Samuel called all of Israel together, and he said, this is later in his life, where he anointed Saul as king. He said, "Indeed, I have heeded your voice in all that you said, and have made a king over you. But now here is the king walking before you, and I am old and gray-headed. And look, my sons are with you. I have walked before you from my childhood to this day." And he's just showing, he said, "Well, here, you know, here's my life." He said, "Here I am, witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken, or whose donkey have I taken, or whom have I cheated? Whom have I oppressed, or from whose hand have I received any bribe with which to blind my eyes? I will restore it to you." And they said, "You have not cheated us or oppressed us, nor have you taken anything from any man's hand." Then he said to them, "The Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day, that you have not found anything in my hand." And they answered, "He is witness." Samuel lived a life that was completely open and honest. And there was no one in his old age that could say, well, this was a dishonest man. He said, you know, if I've taken anything from you, I'll restore it. And they said, no, you haven't. So that was an encouragement in my heart that we can live a life in such a way that there are no man can say anything against us that we're a cheat or we're dishonest. First and foremost, in the practical areas of life, first and foremost, we need to be honest with God in our hearts. If we can't be honest with God, we can't be honest with ourselves, and we won't be honest with others. To have an honest heart is to be quick to confess sin to Him. Just to be honest with where we're at, you know, and where we fail, quick to confess sin. Be honest with Him in our struggles and where we find ourselves at times. Just to be honest, Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24 say, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there's any wicked way within me, and lead me into the way of everlasting." When we pray that way and we mean it from our hearts, God will show us. He'll show us our needs, and He'll give us our what we need in our lives. But we need to be open to His Spirit to convict us, to change us. If we need to be changed, God can change us. He'll give us the strength to do that, and He'll be faithful. He's faithful, and He wants us to be faithful, as we heard this morning. We have to have an open and honest heart before Him that He can work in us. He won't force any one of us to make changes in our life that we're not willing to first. That we're not first going to be willing to want to be changed. If you're in here today and you've never been honest with God in that way about your sin, you've never been converted, you've never been. It takes an honesty in that way. God already knows it. He just wants us to confess it. God already knows where we're at. He knows we grew up, most of us in here grew up hearing those sermons about how God can shine through the window into our hearts, just like the sun shines through a window into our hearts. And it used to scare me. It used to put a fear in me that I didn't want God to see this heart. But now, there's nothing hidden. If there's nothing hidden, then it doesn't matter what, you know, God already knows it. So if you're hanging on to something in your life that you don't think that you can confess or that you can just let go and confess it to the Lord and to your parents or whoever it may be, I'm telling you, God already knows it. And He's waiting. He's waiting for you just to confess it. And you can be changed. You don't have to carry that thing around. Even the world appreciates an honest man and one who can be trusted. As I was searching some things out yesterday morning, I come across this website about integrity and honesty. It's from a website that helps people hire people for business. And I thought it was interesting. It says 13 characteristics of people who have true integrity. So they were telling bosses what to look for in people to hire, good employees. And this is not based on anything of the Bible or Christian values, but yet they have Christian values in them. They're right principles that we can appreciate. They said here, integrity, for those who are not familiar, is quite important. It's the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles. People who have a strong sense of integrity are sadly a rare breed. However, there are some people left in this world with integrity, and usually they share these following traits. Number one is they value other people's time. They value their own time, so they also value other people's time. They know you have plenty of other places that you need to be and wouldn't hold you up. If you spend time with them, it's likely they will thank you for that as well. They give credit. Number two, they give credit where credit is due. They do not take credit for the things they did not do. They always give credit to those who deserve it. Number three is they're authentic. They are in their truest form. You can't catch them in a lie or being fake. They're always honest. Number four is they're always honest. They're honest people that feel no need to lie, as it is important for them to get to where they need to get. As it is important for them to get to where they need to get in life honestly. Or in other words, they don't feel the need to lie to get ahead in life, I guess is the what it's saying there. Number five, they never take advantage of others. They're not the kind of people who will take advantage of someone else. They love to build people up and get them to help where they need help. Number six, they do not argue over disagreements. I think we could learn some things from this. Looking for employees like this, we need church members like this too, don't we? We need to apply these things in our life. Never argue over disagreements. They will talk through things in a civil manner or not talk at all. You cannot and will not force this person into arguing over something completely ridiculous, which, as I said, there's some principles here we can appreciate. Number seven, they give most people the benefit of the doubt. They try to see the good in everyone. Number eight, they know when something is bothering someone, or they see when someone's struggling, they see a need, they go and they try to help. They believe others. They accept your word as truth until it is disproven. Number 10, they apologize first. If they have done something wrong, they will come to you and apologize. This is how they are. They own up to their mistake and try to make things right. Number 11, they are humble. They do not quite see their own worth. While they are very important and do so much good, they do not quite see it. Number 12, they do good when they can. They're always willing to help other people. And number 13 is they're always kind to those who need it. If someone has a true integrity, oh, I won't read that part, I guess. I was just blessed with that, those 13 little traits in a man that has integrity or a woman that has integrity. We do well to take some of those into our own lives and let them flourish. A person that has true integrity and is honest in the business world, these are the kind of people that companies want to hire. They become a valuable asset to the company because they can trust them. They can trust them to do what they're called to do. And I thought of this: how much more in the kingdom of God? How much more is that person valuable in the kingdom of God? That God could testify of us as he did about Job to Satan. Do you see the integrity of this brother? Do you see the integrity of my son? Proverbs 20, verse 7 says, "The righteous man walks in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him." If we have an honest and an open and honest heart, it'll show in the prospering of our homes. An honest life is a blessing in our home. And our children, it says here in Proverbs, that our children will reap those blessings of honest parents. Of parents that believe in an open and transparent life. An open and transparent life in all honesty before God and man. When we have a life at home that's hidden, there's hidden things. Maybe there's hidden things that we don't want others to know. Our children will reap that benefit too. But when we live a life that is hidden, that has no hidden secrets, no deceit, what freedom? This is true freedom in Christ. This is being truly free in Christ. Growing up, I thought of this memory yesterday, and I'm not criticizing my parents in any way here, but our community here, I guess we all know that you see what you can get away with. If you want something, you just sneak it, and eventually it's allowed, and then you just deal with the consequences of your actions. I don't know what year, well, I'd have been a teenager, young teenager, probably 16. my dad and mom decided to put a phone line in our house from the road, and we figured out a way that we could, at night, from the road to our house, we trenched the line in through the night up to the yard. Then that Saturday, we had the roll wire out there, and we threw a piece of plywood across it, and we was out there mowing, and when no buggies around, we'd work a little bit and move the plywood until we got under the bushes, and the phone box went under the bushes, and nobody could see it. But that's deceitfulness. Deceitfulness and sneaking, and I reaped the benefits of that in my life, not realizing it until later, or until maybe yesterday it dawned on me that that's why I could lie, I could look at my parents in the eye and lie to them, because that was a practice in our home. In a way, we just snuck around, it was deceitful, so I could easily lie because, well, that was a lie too. And that's what I'm talking about living in a life or a home with honesty and openness. If we have dishonesty and those kind of things in our home, our children will multiply that, I believe, and become worse than the parents. It's just the way it is. It's the law of reaping and sowing, I believe. So encouragement today to live our lives. Let's just live our lives in all open and honesty in our homes. What about honesty in the church? Hypocrisy is a form of lying. Pretending to be something we're not. We need to be open and have an honest heart with each other. Avoid pretending to be okay when we actually have a struggle. We're having a struggle. And I've been guilty of this, and I think we can all identify with this. We meet a brother, we're struggling. He asks, "How are you doing?" "Oh, good, blessed." And we're not. That's hypocrisy. It's a form of deceit. We just need to would be willing to be honest with each other and pray for each other in those instances that when a brother greets me and I'm okay, I can say I'm okay and be honest. If I'm struggling, share my struggle and say, "You know, would you pray for me? Would you pray with me?" Just have that open and open relationship in that way. I thought of that yesterday. Well, what a blessing. What exciting to be in a body like that. And I'm not, you know my heart here. I'm not saying we don't do that. We are open and honest. But I think we can grow. Put it that way. I can grow. Also, in the body, if we are walking in all honesty, then this verse we'll rejoice in. This is the verse. Psalm 141, verse 5 says, "Let the righteous strike me, it shall be a kindness. And let him rebuke me, it shall be as excellent oil. Let my head not refuse it." When we're walking in a body and someone comes and corrects us, that person is right and we are in error, it said it's a kindness. That's a kindness to us. And we should never refuse it. It's as an excellent oil, it says. And we don't view those things sometimes as kindness, but in the light of eternity, they are. They're a great kindness. Sitting here this morning, I was thinking about this verse. And I've had experiences like that where we'd be at work, and my two brothers, and you know, we work together, and we don't hold anything back with each other. We just tell each other how it is. And anyway, over the years, I'd have wrong ideas or wrong thought patterns, and I would express them at work, and they'd tell me, "No, that's not right. No, that's not right. That's off." And I would make me, it'd upset me. But I'd go home, and I could think over it, and I'd realize they're right. You know, by the word, they're right. And it's a kindness. It's a kindness to be struck in that way. And we don't need to be upset or angry when someone corrects us, because we should thank them. We should be we should be willing to say, "Well, thank you for correcting me," because it's a kindness. In the light of eternity, it's a great kindness. I thought of this this morning. In our homes, we correct our children because we love them. We correct them and guide them in the way that we want them to go because we love them. Likewise, if we love each other, we will correct error and we will correct each other as we walk. But let our heads not refuse it. If we're in the receiving side of correction, let our heads not refuse it. If we're in the giving of correction, do it with all humility and love and honor and in all honesty. Remember, in the parable of the soils, that the honest and good heart received the word of God, and it brought forth fruit. And sometimes God works. He uses others. He uses fellow man to bring words into our lives and to speak into our lives. And then we can grow, we can produce, or fruit can come from our lives in that way. What about honesty in business? What about taxes? This is where I believe a lot of Christians trip up. It's very, very easy, I think, to be deceitful and dishonest in business and in taxes. Because nobody knows. When it comes to being completely honest, we just need to be open about this. I'm just sharing my heart, what the Lord brought to my heart here, because I face these things, and if we have our own business that we own, and we know what this is, I think. I found this little test they did. I don't know who the organization was, but they did a test on 30,000 students from all over the world, all these different countries of the world. What they did is they took a math test. I don't know how many problems were on it, but they told them they'd give them so much money for every correct answer that they had. But the thing was, they were supposed to grade it themselves and then turn it in a slot, turn it in, and then tell the people how many right answers they had. The majority of them cheated. There were 12 out of the 30,000. There were 12 what they called a big cheater. That was really, let's say they had 10 questions and they never got one right, and they said, "Yeah, I got all 10 right." That would have been a big cheater. There was just 12 of them that did that. There were 18,000 of them, so over half, they were little cheaters, they called it. What they did was, if they had 4 right answers, they'd turn it in and say, "Yeah, I had 6. So they cheated just a little bit. But out of those 18,000, it says, their conclusion was this: most dishonesty occurred among the ordinary people who thought they were honest. They were basically honest. So in their mind, they thought, "Well, I'm being basically honest." But in reality, they were cheating. That was the majority. That's the danger, I think, of us as Christians, that we can fall into. That's the trap that we can fall into, because the world around us does it. They cheat. And we can think, we can develop the thought pattern that, "Well, I'm basically honest, but it's just a little bit." Well, in God's eyes, it's big. And that's what I was talking about. There's pressure from the world all the way around us, our flesh, and the father of lies to cheat in these ways, to just tweak the truth for our benefit. To say or do things that might be a little questionable or just a little shady that we could get a financial gain from. I face it. We do jobs and we'll have people pay us cash. The one guy, I don't remember that. It was 5 digits of cash he paid us to finish to do the job. And he told me, "Here, Uncle Sam doesn't need to know this." I told him, "Well, you know, Uncle Sam doesn't need to know it, but I have a God that does. And all cash goes through our account, whether it's check or cash, it's all the same." Well, he squirmed and, "Well, I guess you have a point." But God knows all things. And it had been very easy, and the thought went through my mind, I could take half of it and no one would know. But God knows. And that's what we face. We face those temptations, and in those times, Satan will come, and he'll say, well, who's going to know? And if you do it, it'd be a little better for you this way. Sometimes honesty, integrity, it'll cost us financially. That's okay. Because in light of eternity, it's better to have peace with God than to gain a few dollars. Also in business, I think this applies to our work ethics. If we work for someone by the hour, to be diligent and trustworthy, to give an honest day's work for your wage. I wonder how many man hours are lost in this country when a man's supposed to be working and he's on the phone. We see it on those commercial jobs. It's terrible. They'll be over there on their phone out of their pocket, and they're supposed to be doing something, and they're over there. A tremendous amount of hours lost and wages lost because men aren't working when they're supposed to be working. What about when you do a job for someone else, and then you leave and you rush through it because your profit margin is tight and you want to make more, so you just cut corners? It's a temptation. It'd be better to spend an extra day in doing it right than to leave and just let it go, because if that makes the difference between making a profit and not, put it that way. Those are temptations that I've faced. And if it wouldn't be for my younger brother, sometimes he keeps me more honest in that way. I appreciate that, for that we're partners, and he's got a real tender conscience toward these things. And there's times that, you know, I want to just do this, and he'll say, no, we're going to do it like this. All right. And I'm thankful for that in my life, because that's what I mean, that when the righteous strike you, it's okay. You know, the Bible tells us to do all things as unto the Lord, and to do it heartily as unto the Lord. So when we do a job for someone, you know, we're to do it for them as we would for Christ Jesus himself. And view that person as not as a prophet, a way to gain profit, but as a soul that we can witness to and be a blessing to. If we cut corners that we can get done faster, that we can have a bigger profit, it's a form of dishonesty, I believe. Also in taxes. Taxes are another area where we can be seriously tempted to tweak numbers for our benefit. I believe that, you know, there's a lot of tax laws, and I don't understand all those things, but we can utilize those tax laws for our help, and they're available for that. But I mean to have a dishonest heart where we change numbers on purpose that we don't have such a high tax. If we are dishonest in any way in business, we'll very quickly destroy the testimony of Jesus Christ in the eyes of the unbelieving world. Because what happens is, they tie you, if you're a dishonest person, they'll tie you to a church. So if you're a dishonest person, and you come to Allen County Christian Fellowship, and then you do business, and then you destroy the testimony of Allen County Christian Fellowship and ultimately of Jesus Christ when you do that. And there's no quicker way, I don't believe, to destroy a testimony than to be a cheat or a dishonest person to the unbelieving. Because remember, the world appreciates an honest man. Somehow, it taints their view, the unbelieving, it taints their view of the whole Christian view instead of just one person. They just label, you know, they just put everybody in the same box. David says in Psalm 141, verse 4, "Do not incline my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men who work iniquity, and do not let me eat of their delicacies." That's the temptation the world throws at us at our feet. You know, it doesn't hurt to just do a little white lie. We've heard those terms, little white lies. There's no such thing as a little white lie. And I think as we have an honest heart before God and for before man, before each other, and we're accountable, it will keep us from many deceptions and untruths in our life. If we have an honest heart and we're open to correction, we're open to the brotherhood, we're open to, and we're just open, it'll keep us from those deceptions and these things that are coming on upon the world. In closing, this psalm, if we struggle in these areas, we don't need to be discouraged. We can be changed. Psalm 145, verse 18 says, "The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth." If we come to the Lord with a true and open heart, He is more than willing to change us and make us into that image of His Son, Jesus Christ. God bless you all.